Hi, everyone, and welcome. In a league that never sleeps, with the Kingdom fan base that never rests, all eyes and ears are on the Arrowhead of the Kansas City Chiefs. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtis with you, along with the 15-year veteran of the National Football League, the Snapper. And we got some great stuff with him later in the show. But Kendall Gammon, a lot of excitement still around the Kansas City Chiefs. When people saw us last, Andy Reid had been introduced as the head coach. John Dorsey had been introduced as the general manager. A lot has happened since then. Overall, your general thoughts on all of the events that have transpired since mid-January.
Well, Mitch, very, very positive. And as you see right there on the 7th, they name Andy Reid the new head coach. Peterson and Sutton, your coordinators on the 11th and then on the 14th. Just a week later, Mitch, from when Andy Reid was named the head coach, John Dorsey of the Green Bay Packers introduced as the general manager and, of course, finalized the coaching staff on the 25th. And then a great offseason when you can have some players like the Chiefs do with six players going to the Pro Bowl. Just a great job. Very, very positive in the Kingdom right now. It has been a whirlwind. I'm telling you, there is no offseason in the NFL anymore. It's you get done, you get to breathe for about a week, then it's time to start again.
Let's talk about the coaching staff, and let's start with the coordinators. And let's start with the offensive coordinator, Doug Peterson, a guy who was the backup quarterback in Green Bay when Andy Reid was there, a 12-year NFL veteran. Of course, he's been with Coach Reid. Overall, your thoughts on Doug Peterson?
You know what? Doug Peterson is a leader of men, is how Coach Reid described him. He's been the backup for Dan Marino, Brett Favre, and Donovan McNabb. Of course, he played a year in Philadelphia for Coach Andy Reid. This is a guy who has been around, and as Coach Andy Reid said, he's ready to be the offensive coordinator. Now, we've talked about it, of course. Andy Reid, Coach Reid, will still be calling the plays, but what Doug Peterson brings to the offense, I think, is very, very exciting and something that will be good to look forward to in 2013.
Let's talk about the dynamic now with the head coach, because we've seen Andy Reid with that laminated sheet in front
yes.
of him, where Doug Peterson works on game planning, working with the rest of the offensive staff. But what does this mean for Doug Peterson and the fact that he doesn't have to jump into the deep end of the pool right away? He can kind of ease himself into this OC role.
Well, you're exactly right. And that's how I think a lot of people would like to have it, because now, like you said, and I'm repeating what you said, Mitch, because you don't have to step into the deep end. You can kind of get your feet wet a little bit, figure some things out. And would he be ready anyhow? Probably so. When you've been a QB in this league for 12 years, you've got a good idea of the game plans and how things go. You understand how to attack an offense. You understand what's going on blocking scheme-wise, receiving-wise, everything. You understand defenses. So he's ready, but the fact is you've got somebody like Coach Reid in front of you who's making the calls. You learn from him. And as Coach Andy Reid said, the first day that he was introduced on that stage was the fact that it's a collective effort. It takes everybody together, and that's what you're going to see offensively.
Let's go to the defensive coordinator, and West Point fans will love this. Bob Sutton, one of the best coaches in Army history. In fact, Army football has never been the same since he left. Also an NFL veteran. He spent the past 13 years, once he left West Point, with the New York Jets as an assistant coach. Veteran is an understatement about Bob Sutton. Your impressions of Bob Sutton?
You know, Bob Sutton, Coach Reid talked about the fact that he's very comfortable with them. He's been in the 3-4 defense, so he knows the schemes, and of course that's what the Chiefs have going, and they will continue that. So you've got that part of it, but Coach Reid talked about the fact that he feels like he's got a lot of different schemes and looks that he can bring, a lot of creative thinking, and he's very comfortable with them. I think that's very important as a head coach, to be comfortable with your defensive coordinator. If you're the offensive coordinator to a degree, calling the plays like Coach Reid is, you want to be able to leave the defense alone. Let them do their thing, and that's what he'll do. I think it's interesting that 12, 13 years at New York in various positions in terms of being a linebackers coach, mm-hmm. being the defensive coordinator when they had some great defenses there. So, again, that's something I think is good as well. When you watch some of the mic'd up episodes on him in terms of him coaching out there, you see a teacher also, a guy who's very low-key but very succinct in what he's saying and saying it in a way that you can learn. I liked it about him. Those specials that we've seen from 65 TPT, they got some great footage in terms of them coaching, and you really get a look into the person and how they coach.
As a follow-up here, let me ask you this, because there was a lot of speculation about the defensive coordinator role.
Right.
Additional speculation, would you stay 3-4 or would you go 4-3 and kind of shift things Your thoughts on the decision to basically stay with that odd front and a base and with 3-4 personnel?
Well, I'll go back to when Coach Reed was introduced and the fact that he talked about 3-4, 4-3. He didn't know at the time, but the fact is he'd coached both, so he wasn't worried. He knew how to coach against both. He was familiar with them. He gets Bob Sutton. He's familiar with the 3-4. Your question and the answer is the Chiefs are already primed with the 3-4 talent. You've got the bookends with Justin Houston, mm-hmm. Tom Bahali, 9 and 10 sacks respectively. You've got DJ coming off a Pro Bowl year as well. Of course, Tom, like we said, and Justin, now that I think about it. So you've got the pieces in place. Of course, you drafted Dontari Poe last year. He came out on as a nose tackle last year. So you've got some pieces there. You want to fit some more in, and you see in the offseason the Chiefs are doing that probably. But I like the move because that's what you've been built on the last 4 years.
Now let's get to where I'm excited. Well, I'm excited about the other two coordinators.
As am I.
Let's throw in the other one because let's talk about Dave Tobe, special teams coordinator. He was brilliant with the Chicago Bears. I've had chats with the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, who's had an opportunity to talk turkey with
right.
Tobe. Thorough, thought out, Devin Hester. I mean, we can go back and just take a look at the Chicago Bears and what they've been able to do. I think the Kansas City Chiefs will dramatically change in productivity in what they do in special teams.
I agree. Dave Tobe is a great addition. He goes all the way back to the Andy Reid era in terms of when he was the assistant special teams coach under John Harbaugh. Yes, John Harbaugh, who was underneath Andy Reid there, and I want to say 99. So he has a familiarity with Coach Reid. I like it. You have to, in this league, Mitch, have special teams step up each and every week. Offense or defense, week to week, may sputter a little bit, but it was always preached to me that you have to have the special teams make a difference each and every week. Certainly his time in Chicago, they made a difference with Devin Hester. I'm going to tell you right now, we were talking about it before the show. How we got him is fabulous, and it was a little bit hard to understand. Happy it happened because there were multiple teams. They were lining up at the window to talk to him. We got him.
He's here. Let me put an adjective in here. Explosive special teams.
Yes.
Just take a look at the Super Bowl. You get a 108-yard return in that game. The explosion of the special teams. We saw it in 2010 to start the season with McCluster's return against San Diego. But let's be honest. It has not been very explosive in Kansas City. And when you think of it, you think just the return game. But I mean also in the coverage units, in winning field position, capturing it, forcing turnovers, and flipping games. Dave Tobe was able to do that in Chicago.
Well, he was, and you talk about field position created both offensively and defensively. Special teams, that's where most of the field position changes, or at least the largest chunks when you talk about your kickoffs, your punts, your punt returns, so you're exactly right. I go back to my days when I was with the Chiefs from 2000 to 2007 in terms of when the human joystick.
Dante Hall,
thank you. We affected field position greatly, and nothing changes the momentum of a game and gets you going than great special teams. When the offense can go straight out to the 45 or 50-yard line, Mitch, that makes a difference. Conversely, when the defense of the other team has to come out, or rather the offense of the other team has to come out, and they've got 80-plus yards to go, that's an issue as well. And, of course, with special teams would be another Pro Bowler in terms of Dustin Colquitt and what he's done. So you add him to the mix, and Coach Tobe talked about the fact that he liked him, so certainly that's something that will be interesting to watch this offseason as well.
Let's get your impression. Let's take a look again at the entire staff. Now, this is kind of a collection, a cross-pollination of culture, if you will. A lot of these guys came with Andy Reid from Philadelphia. Some have been with Reid in the past,
right.
Whether it's Philadelphia or Green Bay or going Missouri and UTEP, going back there. And then they keep Gary Gibbs and Emma Thomas, retain them from the old staff. When you look at this page, give me your overall impression and what you like about it.
Well, one thing that jumps out at me is the fact that you see so many guys that have played the game. Of course, Doug Peterson, we talked about. Matt Nagy was a QB in the Arena League. Eric Bieniemy goes back to your Colorado Buffalo days and played some in the NFL. David Culley actually came in as a wide receiver coach the last offseason that I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I got a chance to be around him a little bit. He had a lot of success with Philadelphia and those receivers there. Excited about that. Andy Heck, offensive line, of course, he's a former first-round pick for the Seattle Seahawks out of Notre Dame at left tackle. And then Eugene Chung, who was actually at the Combine when I was there in 92, the assistant offensive line. I really like those two because I think as an offensive lineman, when you've got guys asking you to get in the trenches and just get dirty and beat up, whatever, well, when it's guys that have done it before at a high level like they have, I think that's fabulous. Defensively, you talked about it already. I think Al Harris is interesting. You have a mix of some new with him coming in. And you know what, Tobe, as we see in the special teams, again, very, very exciting. So, yeah, a very, very good staff put together. And let's not forget the fact that they were on the front end of the curve. We took care of the head coach quickly. We took care of everything. And now we had a choice of seven teams who had let their coaches go. And now you're picking and you're choosing the best of what you think it is. And, of course, as we talked about before, when you're Andy Reid and you place a call to an assistant coach, you're getting the call back.
It is being there when the garage sale opens.
No question.
Not on Sunday when all that's left is the underwear and stuff. All right, now, I hope Al Harris has got some game left because I might suit that cat up. But it's I'm excited about that group. Now, to close out this segment, let's talk about the Pro Bowl. You alluded to it. But Kansas City makes its presence felt in the Pro Bowl. Justin Houston gets added later as an alternate. And, oh, was that Derek Johnson having a pick six in this game? I think it was. And Eric Berry was all over the field defensively.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it. A team that has only two wins to have six people go to the Pro Bowl, that tells you that the roster is there, that you need to make some subtle changes, but they're primed to do some good things. It's great to see them represented like they were over in Hawaii. I thought it was awesome, the fact of me, just the fan in me, being able to see the mic'd up portions of those guys in practice and what they're doing. It takes me back to when I was there in 2005, and it's just a great time. I thought the Pro Bowl increased in terms of the competitiveness this year, which, of course, needed to happen, and it did. Good things on the horizon, I think, because when you've got that group to lead you going forward, it's exciting.
And speaking of some great pieces, 65 TPT's work in Honolulu with the Pro Bowlers was classic. To have the group go over there.
Well, I talked about it. Thank goodness they weren't here when I went to the Pro Bowl, because otherwise I'd have all these memories. Yeah. I don't have anything. But, yeah, they do a fabulous job.
And it was awesome that they were there. All right. That's the first piece of the puzzle. As this is Combine Week, things are rolling in Indianapolis, which is now the next piece of evaluation as the Chiefs get ready for the 2013 draft with the first overall pick for the first time in franchise history, at least since the AFL-NFL merger. But the Senior Bowl is always a gigantic event. When the actual competition goes on among some of the best players in this 2013 draft class. When we come back, we're going to solicit the thoughts of the man who was there. Our Chiefs insider, Reed Farron, was there to give his look at it. We'll have that when we return on this edition of Chiefs Live.
Kansas City, first down, goal to go at the one. Castle, pass left side for Bowe. He's got a touchdown. Flowers with the interception in the end zone. Big mistake by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Under pressure, Fitzpatrick goes down. And the Chiefs pour it on. Red hot.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. Church, Eli Young Band, and introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scouts Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and you'll even walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. To book your tour today, visit GoArrowhead.com.
Let me come.
coming out of the timeout, and yes, I'm like all of you. There is saliva all over my iPad because there's just some excitement going on with this team. We have a new man joining us here on the staff. He's not new. You've seen him a lot. In fact, if you followed his reports from the Senior Bowl, Reed Farron, our Chiefs insider. And, Reed, we want to focus now on the Senior Bowl. You got a chance to be there live and in person in Mobile. Your thoughts overall with your first Senior Bowl?
First time, Mitch, it was exciting. I mean, obviously, you go down there, you could cut the tension. These guys are under pressure. They're there to perform. Getting ready, obviously, you talk about guys coming out here performing under the biggest spotlight prior to the combine, after the bowl games. So they're looking to do the end-all, be-all, show the coaches, the scouts, GMs that are in the stands, what they can do and prove their worth for the upcoming draft.
You know, as you look at it, and of course there's a lot of pressure going on, did you ever feel like people were pressing? Because as you said earlier, I mean, there's a lot of different people. They're pretty much the who's who of the NFL.
Yeah, and you hear, the thing I like, we got to be right down on the field, right around the track, so you're up close. You're hearing a lot of chatter, a lot of guys going playing past the whistle because they're not about to be intimidated, not taking cheap shots, but they want to play through the whistle to show that, hey, I'm here, this is what I'm going to give each and every play. So guys were very, they weren't pressing so much as to say, you know what, this is what you're going to get each and every play out of me when you draft me.
Reed, I'm curious because what was the reaction that you got from scouts that were either the Chiefs scouts or the NFL scouts? Because why they like the Senior Bowl so much, this is like a replication of training camp. The drills that they do will be the exact drills they do in practice and camp. They're now going up against the rest of the stars of this class. This is different than evaluating a bowl game or even evaluating what they're doing here at the Combine. It's like the actual stuff. What's the reaction you get from coaches and scouts?
You know, they come down and you're watching this stuff as they're going through, and you're trying to take a look at, okay, how is this guy looking to impress his position coach? The coach, like, for example, Schwartz and the Lions, they were coaching down there with the Raiders and Allen, Coach Allen on the other side. So they're trying to do everything they can to prove, you know, their worth. And they're not so much pressing, but just the fact that, okay, let's go out here as a team, collectively, work what we can. But I know talking to the players afterwards when we did the interviews, they obviously wanted to win as a team, but it was about the individual. Like, they know this is their shot. It's about them. We'll talk later about Eric Fisher. That's exactly what he said. Central Michigan, not highly recruited, had a chip on his shoulder, and you could tell it in his play during the week.
You talk about Eric Fisher, and he's a guy I like as well, but what was your impression watching him? I think he's one of the guys that you were really taken with a little bit.
Yeah, and I think you agree. He has an attitude.
Yes.
He has a big-time attitude. He was actually our second interview there, 6'7", just a beast of a man, 300 pounds, big frame. And a former basketball player. He's got great feet, and he was not outmanned on any of the one-on-one drills and the seven-on-sevens, whatnot. Whatever they did, it was all intensity with Eric Fisher, and he is out to prove that, you know what, he plays in the MAC. The MAC might not get a lot of respect, but Eric Fisher commands it.
Well, there's been a lot of MAC players that have had great careers in the National Football League, especially recently. But I'm going to get to the quarterbacks in next because we get asked all three of us every day about that. But Luke Jokel is thought to be still the number one guy on the board as far as tackles and maybe overall in the draft. Did Fisher supplant him in that role at the Senior Bowl?
I would have loved to have seen Jokel. Obviously, it wasn't there, but I think he did. Now, there's you talk to guys like NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Mayock. They were all on the Eric Fisher bandwagon saying he's up there. We talked a little bit before the show. Lane Johnson is stepping up, has a high ceiling. But the swagger that Fisher brought, the playing through the whistle, he didn't back down. He's everything that you want in a blindside protecting left tackle.
Well, you talk about in terms of he's very, very athletic, and you talked about the basketball side of it. Mitch, he was a three-year letter winner in basketball. Offensive line coaches, they love offensive linemen that played basketball. But tell me this, you said 6'7", 305 pounds, hulking guy, but did it look like he has some room to put something on that frame?
Definitely, and you'll know as better as anyone that once you get to the NFL, you're going to hit that weight room, you're going to hit the cafeteria, and you're going to put on weight, and I'm sure that's exactly what he wants to do because, he was not about to be manned by anybody, but then when you put on that additional 10, 20 pounds, which they would do in the offseason, sky's the limit.
All right, let's get to quarterback. Everybody asks about it, and one guy, and based on your reports, then I watched some video of him that intrigues me because you talk about the 1-1 pick, but maybe not a quarterback at the 1-1 pick. then maybe the second pick, or maybe you trade or move around. But E.J. Manuel of Florida State, what did you see?
Tell you what, confidence and also chip on his shoulder. He has something to prove. The guy plays under pressure, undefeated in bowl games, 25-6 as a starter at FSU, starting quarterback. And, you know, he's that mold. Who do we see in the Super Bowl? The Colin Kaepernick type, the running quarterback, 6'4", 237 pounds. He's kind of the Cam Newton build. So he's got the intangibles. Just the knock on EJ is the downfield accuracy when he's especially under pressure.
Well, and Mitch, to Reed's point, I would agree. In my evaluation of EJ, the one thing that I see also is anything 20, 25 yards down the field, not as accurate as you might like to see. But this is a guy, again, at 6'5", 240-ish. He's as Kaepernick-like as you'll find, maybe Cam Newton-ish. He's a long strider. It doesn't look like he's running fast, but the fact is he pulls away from people. This is an athlete. He can certainly get it done.
Yeah, I've looked at the pluses and minuses of this guy, and I'm telling you, there's some intrigue with him, particularly with what's going on in this league right now. Now, they list the 40 time at 4.7. It doesn't look like elite speed, but what you're saying is maybe good enough speed where he may not run for 50 yards like a Kaepernick, maybe not, but he's got the elusiveness to go for 20 or at least give you that option.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, absolutely. And as you watch some of this film, this is exactly what you're seeing is the fact is he will plant his foot and he'll go. You see here as he gets around the right side, just does a nice job. He just seems to glide sometimes. And here shows some nice touch getting it to the running back in the right flat, giving him a chance to make a play. So, again, at 6'5", 240 pounds, this is a guy that really what it comes down to, guys, don't you think, is it's what round do you pick him up in? Of course there's value. It just depends where you get him if that were your person.
Right, and there's something to be said, guys, about playing under adversity. Obviously he's very close with his family, his mother battling breast cancer. When during the Senior Bowl trip, he gives a shout-out to his mom during the game. Just answer prayer that she has beat cancer now. She's cancer-free. But he performs, 2 touchdowns, 1 running, 1 passing, and gets the MVP at the Senior Bowl. So, and I know he's excited for the combine.
One final question for you guys, and this is what excites me. If the Chiefs go with Manuel, I keep hearing if he gets proper coaching, technique-wise, kind of refined things, that he could be really good. Now, Doug Peterson's here. You've got a technician to
no
teach
question.
Quarterbacks. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree because the fact is he has all the physical tools. He has the arm. He can throw on the run. He does some good things. But again, if you just refine, if you just tweak those little things, then he could be a steal. It just depends when you get him. But that's certainly somebody that you've got to look at on draft day.
That's right. Again, with the swagger, the chip on the shoulder we talked about, you can't say that enough because, you know, he wants to prove that he can play at this level.
Yeah, and he appears to be a competitor. Now, the third guy on your radar is a familiar name in the National Football League because when you think Trufant, you think good corners in this league. Your thought on Desmond Trufant?
Yeah, intensity. From watching him during the week, he was intense, not only just in the individual drills, but during the practices, the 7-on-7s, whatnot. Intense, up in the receivers on every play. Has that swagger again. It's the attitude you bring to the field, that aura of confidence. And you mentioned the bloodlines, his brothers Marcus and Isaiah in the league, also at cornerback position. So he knows the mold. He fits the mold. Started as a freshman 1 month into the season and never gave up the starting spot there at Washington.
You know, he's a guy, I think, and if there's any knock on him I've heard is the fact that he likes to squat on the ball a little bit.
Yep.
And when you do squat, you've got to make sure that you've got some makeup speed also because eventually you're going to get fooled. Then that's where the combine comes in. When you talk about who can really make it or break it at the combine, I think it's your speed guys. It's your wide receivers and it's your defensive backs because you're going to get that electronic timed speed on them. And sometimes it has too much weight, but it does make a difference.
Let me ask you this. Reed, did you see with Trufant a guy that would be a nice compliment to Brandon Flowers on the other side? We know about Javier Arenas. We've seen Javier be best in a dime nickel role because he can come off the slot, cover the slot, come as a blitzer on a slot. But is there enough in Trufant to say, you know what, a great bookend at corner-corner with a Brandon Flowers?
We were talking before the show, height never hurts. So Desmond, 5'11", 190, he loves to go up and get the ball. His arm length measured at 30.5, so he's got the arm length to get up there, Spider-Man-like, and get the ball. But we also talked about at Washington, they said he loved the Revis Island-type mentality. He likes to be isolated. He likes to be on that island, has the confidence as a shutdown corner. He wants that challenge.
Well, certainly if he were the first-round pick, for the Chiefs. I have a feeling that Bob Sutton would not have a problem with that. Anytime you get a corner of that stature, good things happen.
Well, Kendall, let me ask you, because this is a scheme question. Many times a young guy, they'll sit there and just play press and say, you go, play man-to-man, basically basketball. Otherwise, in like a cover two type scheme, you're squatting. You have to force the run on the corner. You want some size. I think of those Seattle corners, which are now kind of changing the prototype right now of the National Football League. And to your point, you still got to cover deep if you squat some. But what about scheme and how it fits with what you select at corner?
Well, I think that's huge. When Bob Sutton's looking at what he has and what he wants to do, Mitch, he's got to look at a corner that fits for him. And when you've got a corner who's got an ego, and you've got to have an ego to be a corner because you're on an island, and if he likes to be an island, like you say, Reed, well, then that's something you like. But the fact that he can come up, that he can tackle in the flat, he can do some good things, you would love for him to be able to come up, make plays defensively there in the flat, in the alley. So maybe sometimes you don't have to bring an Eric Berry up into the eight man in the box all the time. You'd love to do it with just seven men. If he's a guy who can help take care of that, well, then that makes sense.
I've said this before. Corners are your fighter pilots on your football team. They're your top gun fighter pilots. Now, Reed, just to close things out, your impressions of being there, but now you were there, and there was a great shot, that 65 TPT shot, where there's an Andy Reid shot set next to John Dorsey. Ray Farmer is like a row below. What was the feeling about the Kansas City Chiefs among the people you talked to, and what was it like to see Andy Reid, John Dorsey, Ray Farmer sitting there? I love. That's my favorite shot of the entire combine.
And that was it. If that's not intense, that's focus right there. And when John Dorsey was introduced at his press conference, there was a question about when he was with the Packers at the Senior Bowl, they were together. They were with the group, and that's exactly how it was. I loved looking up, knowing as I was walking around the field, around the track, our guys right up there together, and like Coach Reid told me in our one-on-one, he said, this is John Dorsey's thing. This is what he wants to do, and that's what he's going to do, and that's what he's best at. He's going to find us the guys, get them in here, and guys, I can't wait for 2013.
Awesome job in Mobile. Well done, my friend.
It was a great time. You know, Kevin Brebner, Adam Pellegrino had the best guys, got the best shots, and look forward to what this season has to bring.
Well done. Yes. Good work. So now the next step is what's going on right now in Indianapolis. It's combine time. When we come back, we'll check in on the Chiefs' thoughts on the NFL combine after this.
Head coach Andy Reid. Coach, it's been a busy month around here. What's it been like for you?
I'll tell you what, Reid. It's been fast and furious. We've been here a month. It seems like 2 days, and that's how fast it's going. But we're getting a lot done.
Now, talk about specifically what your staff here at the University of Kansas Hospital Training Complex is working on.
Well, initially you go through and you evaluate the players that are here, and then you make sure that you take the other half of the day and that you're taking care of the offense, you're taking care of the defense, and making sure they're schematically sound, everybody's on the same page, and then you also do that with special teams.
Now, your first experience Senior Bowl with the Chiefs, describe that, and how's the evaluation process going?
Well, it was good. I kind of just hung with John Dorsey, and that's his job, man. He's an expert at it, and he was pointing out the guys that we might have some interest in down the road and guys that we'd go through now and evaluate, which all the scouts are in here doing. They're all in-house and grinding away and have been for a couple weeks, and they'll keep going through that process.
Speaking of the scouts, especially this time of year, what is life like for the guys behind the scenes?
Well, those are the guys that you bank on at this time. They do this 365 days of the year. They've gone out and they've scoured the country and found football players. They've narrowed it down, and now they're going through literally player by player, watching tape as a group and evaluating them one more time. It takes a lot of hours. It's 7 in the morning till 7 at night with a short period, 20-minute period for lunch, and then you're back in that dark room cranking.
Walk me through the evaluation process. When you're there, what specific things are you looking for when you watch the players?
It's a little bit like the cattle yards over here, so the stockyards. All the players come in throughout the country, the finest football players in college football, and you put them through a physical, which is extensive now. I mean, they take you from your toes all the way up to the top of your head, and they're going to evaluate you and find every little thing wrong with you and make sure that they examine it. And the next phase is they actually do a workout. So you take them out on a field just like we're standing on here in Indianapolis where the Colts play, and you put them through a phase of different exercises. It's all filmed, and you go through and you watch them and make an evaluation. Again, it's just It's this gear right here with shorts on and shoes, so there's no helmet or pads, so you don't get to see him hit, but you do get to see him move around.
Now, there are a lot of exciting players going to be at the combine, but one guy that's standing out, what do you know about Leon Sandcastle?
I'll tell you what, my guy right there runs a 4.2. It's pretty good stuff. Like, he might be able to hang with you and me. He might be able to do this show.
Should I be worried?
Well, I'm not sure worried. Happy.
Okay.
Happy. Happy.
Okay. What does a guy like Leon Sandcastle bring to the table?
A speed, athleticism, and a whole lot of interceptions.
We didn't even bring up Leon Sandcastle. We didn't even talk about Leon Sandcastle.
He's fabulous. I'll tell you right now, I look at him and I see what he does. It takes me back to Super Bowl 30. I was chasing a guy who was returning punts, Deion Sanders, and he's very similar to him and how he moves with everything. So
you can see the resemblance.
I get nightmares. I'm not going to lie.
You can see the resemblance. All right. Kind of the third part of our show, and thanks for joining us on Chiefs Live. We took a look at what's happened since the announcement of Andy Reid as head coach and John Dorsey as general manager, the staff being put together. Then Reid Farran did a great job of breaking down the Senior Bowl. Now it's the combine, and everybody's going to be tuned in. NFL Network, they'll be watching all the individual workouts. Just overall, generally, the combine and your thoughts, what can you get done here? But let's do this first. Here's what's interesting. These are the guys, a lot of the notable ones,
right,
who did not compete at the Senior Bowl. So the last segment, all that stuff Reid talked about, doesn't count with these guys. The one guy that jumps off the page here is a guy that's talked about a lot in the Chiefs' kingdom, and that is Geno Smith. Some think worthy of the 1-1 pick in the 2013 draft. Here we go. Now Geno Smith, who was not in Mobile, is in Indianapolis. Your thoughts on this?
Well, Mitch, Geno Smith is an interesting character when you look at him. And this is a guy at 6'3", 220, who can make all the throws. You see this deep post, 50 yards in the air, hits his man in stride for the touchdown. Great job. Here now he delivers the slant pattern to Tavon Austin for a touchdown against Texas. Very, very nice job there. He shows a little touch here as he goes, throws it out into the swing pass to the left, gives it to his running back so he can make a play and do some good things. Then, of course, the college screen, which, Mitch, you're seeing run more and more in the NFL. So this is something that he has good knowledge of. Right here, I like the fact that not only is the ball delivered for a TD and is accurate where he can catch it or nobody, but he takes a hit at the end, and that's huge when you can stand in the pocket. This I like for one reason. He's looking to his left. Nobody's open. He gets through his progression, and he gets to what's most likely, Mitch, his third progression on the right side of the field. Watch here as he flips his hips, sets his feet, and makes the throw to the deep comeback on the outside. And then right here, he recognizes that the middle of the zone is open because everybody's man out there. They need 10 yards to get a first down. There it is now, first and 10 inside the red zone. Now, if there's some issues right now, it's this. Does he see things? Right now, you saw a couple people that were open. He doesn't recognize it. He looks uncomfortable in the pocket sometimes. And then here right now has been questioned, certainly in the second half of the season, decision making. As you see here, he's going to Tavon Austin, but the fact is he's double covered. Is it a poor decision, or does he just have that much confidence in Tavon Austin, which certainly is a great player, but either way, that ball should have been intercepted.
The measurables here are intriguing. The size is very alluring.
Yes.
6'3 and 215, 220. When you see those measurables, you start to look and think of, you know, McNabb and Culpepper type guys. That, I guess, maybe is a starting point with him. Where the physical tools, at least on size and height, are there.
He does have the physical tools, and as we showed, he can make all the throws, but you just wonder. You had that, I mean, the first four or five games of the season, you're like, okay, this is a 1-1. You know it, no question about it. And then he runs into K-State, and all of a sudden things go a different direction. So I think that's why the jury is out, because you're just not sure what you're getting with him, whereas you look at the years past with some franchise QBs, this just simply isn't it, in my opinion.
Yeah, the release, when you watch the video, is also intriguing. The ball comes out fast, which is, let's talk about maybe the knocks on him here a little bit. Dana Holgerson's considered a offensive genius, a guru,
right,
at West Virginia. And looking at your progressions or not seeing those, one of the knocks is programmed into the system where somewhat rote learning in my throw is going to be here. And if it's not there, I'm either going to force the throw or not find a secondary receiver. Your thoughts on that?
Well, what you're alluding to, I think, Mitch, is the fact is does the program make the player? And that's what you're talking about. And it could be debated. I don't know. Sometimes you think maybe he's getting to his second or third read. But again, what you bring up is a valid point in terms of going back. Sometimes he forces the ball, or he's only got one read and you don't know if he's getting through his progression. And quite honestly, you can only find that out in gameplay. It would have been nice to find that out at the Senior Bowl, but he didn't go. So now he will be going to the combine. He's going to throw there. And of course, you saw once he said that he was going to throw, now you had everybody else fall in line. Oh, okay, I'll throw also with the game. Everybody's throwing with the exception of Matt Barkley, and that's an injury that kept him out of the latter part of the season.
Let me ask you before we close the book here on Geno Smith for the show, is before you hand the keys of the kingdom to this guy as a 1-1 pick, let's say, maybe the biggest knock on Geno was when things started to not go well, he didn't respond the best. K-State pulled the Superman's cape off of him that carried into Texas Tech, another game that came to mind. He had to play in the wind, and things didn't go so well for him. And it wasn't, hey, follow me, let's fight back. It was more the other thing. Now, in your interviews with this guy, if you're the Chiefs, when you're on campus, you take maybe a pro day visit with this guy, what do you want to find out to get rid of the fear that he doesn't handle adversity well?
Well, I'm going to start with the first thing. You talked about the intangibles in terms of him not responding, and that is something that you want to see in a QB. You hear a lot of front office personnel. They look for the person that people just gravitate to, that they just draw. They have this magnetism to them. And I've been around some of those guys. Trent Green comes to mind right off the bat. This is a guy that you instantly fell in love with and you just wanted to be around. He was an instant leader. Is Geno Smith that? I don't know. But when you get to it, that's the kind of things that you're going to talk about and then you're going to ask when you get in those interviews, those on-campus interviews most likely. Because let's remember, if we don't know, is the fact that when you go to the combine, each team gets 60 interviews and they get 15 minutes per interview. That's not a lot of time if you're investing millions of dollars in a person. So you've got to do some other background checks of what's going on with them as well. It's not just those 15 minutes.
And being very, very, very thorough with him. You know, you mentioned the guys that light up the room, the RG3 and the Andrew Luck come to mind. They could be president of the United States.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to find that out about Geno Smith. Now, you want to go tackle here. We already talked about Eric Fisher before the break, the kid from Central Michigan who really was the star of the show, basically, coming out of the Senior Bowl. Now, going to the combine, because there's been a lot of discussion about Luke Joeckel being on the top of the boards around the National Football League, and he would be the 1-1 pick. What about, well, let's just deal with those two guys, and let's start with Fisher.
Well, we'll start with Fisher, absolutely. With Fisher, this is a guy that at 6'7", 305 pounds, he is a mountain of a man. He does some very good things. You'll see right here on the pass set, he keeps his body square. He gets his hands on the defender, keeps that inside hand locked out, and keeps distance from the defender. Here he does a nice job recognizing the ET twist, does a good job picking up the guard as he comes around. Again, you'll see it as he recognizes, rides the defensive end inside, pivots, and gets the guard as well. Great job, because that's something that will happen to him in the NFL. Here again, with the pass set, he does a nice job as he goes back. He gives a little ground, gets too close, and he finally anchors. And I like that little shove at the end, a little bit of attitude, as you'll see right here. Again, that little shove right there, I like. And we'll see a better example of it right here as he goes back on this set, the end zone right there, and he dumps him. That is a nastiness that you can't teach. You're born with it. Offensive coaches love that. Right there, he takes the defensive end off his feet. That is huge. When you talk about your quick slants or the college screen we saw earlier, you get the hands down of the defender. That's something I like as well. Now run block, the drive block. He does a good job getting into people. He keeps his feet moving, as you'll see right here. Wide base, very, very good job. And then on this next one, I like the fact that he gets out to a wide nine technique, which is out there a little bit, tries to get his head across, keeps driving. I'd like to see him sustain a little bit longer, but the fact is he absorbs that initial blow, then he keeps his legs driving. That is just a fabulous job by him. And then this last one, this is what I love, the fact of his athleticism and how it shows. You see the tight end block down, he pulls around, he gets to the second level, picks up a defensive back right there to pave the way into the end zone. As we see it here from the end zone view, again, picks up that second level, touchdown for the Chippewas, puts his hands in the air. This is a guy that's having fun, 6'8", 305, As Reed said, he has a chance to put on more weight. That is a possible franchise left tackle.
Yeah, just imagine Jamal Charles running that tackle pull play, which the Chiefs have actually done before with a Brandon Albert. Now, the best thing I liked about your video, great job, by the way, your video had him against Michigan State and against Iowa. The knock on Fisher, which I really don't think is a knock, is the fact that he plays MAC competition at Central Michigan. All of that video that you had was against Michigan State, who has a nasty front seven, believe me, and Iowa. So it was good to see it against a good competition.
Well, you're right. I did that for one purpose, because you want to see him against that top-tier talent. And the fact is, there's been another tackle come out of Central Michigan who hasn't done too bad either. And going back, we'll get to a moment in terms of Jokel. When we look at him, is you're going to wonder about some things with him that we'll bring up. But again, Fisher and what he's doing, he's not the consensus number one pick by a lot of people, but in my mind, I see the upside. I guess what I see with him is more ceiling and maybe a higher floor with Jokel. Maybe it's safer with Jokel. So very, very interesting.
Well, intriguing there, because now let's go to the next person that's talked to, and that's Luke Jokel, who's thought to be, going into the combine, at least on most boards, the 1-1 guy.
Yes.
1-1. Your thoughts on Jokel in the video you've watched?
Well, Jokel is 6'6", 310 pounds. This is a guy who does a good job. As you see right here, a nice kick slide on his pass set, gets his hands on the defender quickly. Very, very good job. Again, we see another pass set. The defensive end pushes the defensive end out and around and does a good job. Manziel had no reason to flush right now. That's just what he does, because the pocket was secure. Here, he does a nice job in terms of getting his hands on quickly. Defender tries to spin, come back inside. He spins the barrel, no dice. Again, Manziel had no reason to push out of the pocket, as you see, but that's who Manziel is, as he takes off and does what he does to get the Heisman. Now, this next one I like, the fact is he recognizes the ET twist, something that you've got to be ready for in the NFL. He does it as well as anybody, so certainly that's something I like. Again, rides the defensive end inside and then picks up the guard looping around. Here you see a little athleticism as he gets down and he makes the cut block, gets the defensive end off his feet. As I said with Fisher, the fact that you get the defensive end off his feet, and now he can't get up and knock down a quick three-step drop in some way, shape, or form. Love this, Mitch, as he gets into the end zone with his man. And you'll see from the end zone view, that right step gets down, boom, right there, gets his head across, rolls his hips, and drives his man into the end zone. You like that about him. Now, he does have some warts, and if there's anything that affects him a little bit, it's the speed rush. You see right here as Manziel has to flush out of the pocket. We'll see it from an end zone view. The fact is, he turns his body too quickly. He gives up the edge, and that speed gets to him as the defensive end bends and gets under his hands. And then finally, at 6'6", sometimes you have a tendency to get too high. As you see right here, the defender gets into his chest, bull rushes him, flushes him from the pocket. But again, that can be corrected as you set your hips lower, you shoot your hands in quicker. That can make a difference. He'll get those reps. He can correct that in the NFL, because he'll be going each and every day. And as you see again, 6'6", 310. This is a guy who can be a franchise left tackle as well. So the thought comes to mind, where do you go? It depends. Now, the one thing that I started to bring up a little bit ago is the fact of Mitch is he blocks for Manziel, and Manziel's very active. And you'll see in a lot of the film study I did, you will see him, you'll see the defensive ends rather, they'll kind of hesitate a little bit, and it makes them look great because they're not coming. So it makes me wonder if NFL personnel are taking that into account. I know they see it, but do they see enough and not worry about it?
Well, again, excellent video chosen, because you chose every piece against Alabama in A&M's, heart-stopping upset victory in Tuscaloosa, but there wasn't a better defensive front seven than Alabama. So if you're going to really look at Luke Jokel and what it's going to be like in the NFL, Alabama is the tape to watch. But you bring up an excellent point. If there's a knockdown in Luke Jokel, it has been with Manziel, the fact that it's really not a real-world experience. Manziel's so elusive back there and runs around that he's somewhat protected on the edge. I mean, Manziel looks to run here instead of throw right away. He's back in a normal spot, but He doesn't have to hold the block very long because Manziel's so fast.
Well, you're right. And with the pistol these days, you fake that option underneath with the running back. Those defensive ends have to be wary of that, or they have to be ready to pick up the QB as he comes to the side. So those are some things that we see. So it'll be interesting. The combine will be interesting for him because, of course, he's a junior coming out, so he couldn't go to the Senior Bowl. You wish he could. But, you know, the combine's interesting because these guys, they're working each and every day. They're getting their body in shape to put it on showcase for the NFL talent. I can remember when I went to the combine and worked out each and every day getting ready. I was the first long snapper taken, but then I was also there as an offensive lineman. So it was, you know, you get ready for it and you want to put on the best show you can.
Well, to that point, we have gone back. The combine, you look at every bit of measure.
Right.
We have found your combine picture. We wanted to bring your combine picture to all of the Chiefs Kingdom. First of all,
check.
As a talent evaluator.
Check, please.
No, as a talent evaluator, the first thing I'm looking at is the haircut. We're talking.
I'm just glad I had hair.
Straight buzz marine cut. I love the backside of the haircut.
I was rocking the flat top. There's no doubt about that.
We could land helicopters on that head.
Wow.
Now that.
You guys are obviously doing your homework as well.
We are, but I didn't look at anything else but the haircut.
Thank you.
Now we're talking.
I appreciate that.
Now we're all just kind of, we're going down piece by piece here.
I thought we were just going to start with the head.
Anyway, so what are you? You're at 273 here?
Yes.
6'4, 273.
A very chiseled 273, I would say.
I'm pretty much saying that.
Maybe not. You know what?
Were you married at this point?
I was engaged.
I'm glad Leslie got you when she got you, because if this photo, this is before the days of social media. If this photo goes on Twitter.
Would you mean if or do you mean when?
When slash if, but if this thing went out on Twitter in 1992 or 3, whenever this was. She wouldn't have a chance. You would have, I mean, we're talking.
You know what, wow.
Yeah,
I'm certainly speechless, and I appreciate you guys doing your homework on that one to bring up some talking points. But I will say this, in a little seriousness, is the fact of you always talk about it being a meat market and a cattle market. They line you up. They measure everything. They measure from thumb to finger, the length of your arms right there. You take a front shot and a back shot, and obviously I'm trying to transition from that image that we just saw, but
it is the truth.
Absolutely. Well, there was a food shortage, and I was trying to store up a little extra food just in case I couldn't get a meal.
This turned out okay. You played 15 years in the league.
It did work out.
Pro bowler, and you were the best ever long snapper to ever play in the league. So it turned out okay.
It did turn out okay. It's interesting because I can't find it now, but I got my write up from the scouting combine by a former scout who turned head coach later on. Herm Edwards. He was a scout at the time for Marty and that time, and I remember distinctly seeing on this that it said soft, but has a chance because of his long snapping abilities. So only in America can you throw a ball between your legs really fast and
they were referring
make a career
to a soft heart.
Yeah, there.
That's what he was talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
This has been fun. Hopefully we've kind of caught you up to speed. The combine now flies open today in Indianapolis, and so we'll see the next step. Then it kind of goes to on-campus visits, and you try to do some pro days. We get closer to that last weekend in April when this thing's on, and the Kansas City Chiefs will have the first overall pick. Well done today, my friend.
Absolutely. To you as well, and in addition, each and every week now, we're going to be here, and we're going to be talking about everything that's going on in Chiefs Kingdom. Very excited about that as we move forward into really a new era.
This thing has turned, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs.